Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
This is the Father's house. This is not the hog pen. There is peace in this house. Joy in this house. Healing in this house. Salvation in this house. Prosperity in this house. Everything you need is in this house. Everything you want is in this house. If it's not in this house, you don't need it. And if it's not in this house, you don't want it. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for you. These exceeding great and precious promises which we receive into our lives, we thank you, Lord, for watching over your word to perform it. We thank you for this assembly gathered here this morning in Jesus' name. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning. Give us a spirit of wisdom and not of fear, and give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, if you weren't here Monday night, you really missed something. It was historical.
Yes.
It was historical. All right. Praise the Lord. We'll try to get you caught up. Try to get you caught up next Monday or tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. These Mondays come around right regular, don't they? Praise the Lord. All right, glory to God. I'm glad that you all have been talking about it. That's good. All right, we're in the book of Acts this morning.
Yes, we are.
Not in Revelation this morning. We're in the book of Acts. But like Sister Mary says, all roads lead to Revelation. Where in the world were we? Does anybody remember where we stopped? You know, I was in chapter 26, I believe. Somewhere.
Verse 6.
I think maybe that's it. I got it marked there. All right, well, we'll start at verse 6. Is this the third time that he has given his testimony about his conversion? Is this the third time? I believe it's the third time that we have his testimony.
It's
the third time, and I think it's the third time that Luke gives us this. That's right. That's interesting. All right, praise the Lord. We'll start with verse 6 here, chapter 26, verse 6. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Amen. Why should that be thought a strange thing? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing also I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. Now, this is an interesting thing that here's something that we assume, that I always assumed, and one of my state overseers called me on it one time. And he's right, and we don't know this. We just assume this to be true. Why do we assume that Paul was knocked off of his horse?
I don't know.
There's nowhere that is mentioned that he was riding a horse, or that he was riding anything, for that matter. No horse is mentioned. We don't know that he was, but what he was walking. We don't know. There is absolutely no reason to assume that he was riding a horse when this happened. We just make that assumption. So I just wanted to throw that out because, you know, I've been preaching that all my life. I just assumed. I guess I saw a painting of that one time. I saw a painting.
You know, he says, I fell to the ground.
But yeah, I know. That is true. He fell to the ground, but he could have been standing on his feet and fell to the ground. But anyhow, I guess I saw a painting one time where it showed the conversion of St. Paul or something or other, and it involved horses. So I thought, well, you know, I was raised on a ranch, and we had horses, and so you rode where you went. So I just assumed that he was riding a horse. But there's no reason to assume that he was on horseback when this happened. We just do that. We just assume that he was. But I just thought I'd throw that out because...
Can we go back to the 9th chapter and read it so they can just really see it?
All right, let's go back to chapter 9. Let's look at this. Where,
right from the first verse.
All right, there you go. Let's do that. Okay, here we go. All right, chapter 9, verse 1. Now, this is not Paul's testimony. This is the author now. This is Luke telling it like it is.
Let's go.
Now Luke says, this is the author of the book, he says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, Whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now, that's interesting. They led him by the hand. Now, if he was riding on a horse, how are they leading him by the hand? Well, then they wouldn't be they would be leading his horse possibly, but they wouldn't be leading him by the hand. So if it looks like here he is not on horseback. It sounds like he's walking.
Well, it says in verse 8.
They led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus.
Your mind's got a good point.
Verse 7, where it says, the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, so they were all standing up.
That is true. That is true. That is very true.
You know, just go back and read it.
That is true. Go back, and so we need to go back and read these things with care and with caution, and instead of...
Because they've been preaching that for years.
I know. That's all I've ever heard. That's all I have ever heard, that he was knocked off his horse. I don't believe that's true at all. I don't think the scripture will bear that out. Where's the horse?
You're a cowboy. You ought to be able to find a horse.
I can't find a horse in here. I can't find one. I can't even find a donkey in here. It looks to me like they were walking. Because like you said, it says they stood speechless. What, were they all knocked off their horses? No.
Paul was the only one riding.
If Paul was the only one riding? No, I don't think so. But anyhow, there's no horse here. For all that appears.
If he was on a horse, when they say he fell down, he would
gotten back on the horse and they could have got it.
That's right. That's right. They wouldn't be leading him by the hand.
From the horse.
They would not have been leading him by the hand. Is first of all, you know, I mean, if you're in a group of horses, if you're in a group of men, all of you riding horses, your horse will go where the other horses go. They really don't need to lead you generally. Even if you can't see, your horse will generally go with the rest of the horses. And so, but anyhow, it doesn't say nothing about leading a horse or anything. It said they led him by the hand.
Yeah.
So, yes.
With your experience, I was looking at, you know, the Strong's for journeyed. How do you, if you go to the Strong's definition, it speaks of live, part, go, journey, walk. How do you tell when you look up the Strong's definition, how do you tell which one to think?
Well,
walk is one of the
options. I know. Yeah, that's right. It's an option. Journeying is a general term. There's several ways to journey. You could journey on an ox cart, or you could journey on foot, or you could journey on horseback, or you could journey by ship. I mean, you know, it's just that's a general term, and it doesn't really, that word by itself doesn't help us. So we'd have to look to
Have to look at the context.
That's right. You have to look at the context.
Grab one of them and say.
That's right. You have to look for other clues. And we find other clues here. And this, frankly, this is the first time that I have ever read this carefully enough to find a couple of the clues that we all just picked up on.
I ain't never seen it. I'm glad you brought
it. In Acts 22, it also talks about being led by the hand.
Yeah.
When he gives that account for the temple.
How close was the city they were going to?
Well, I don't know where he started. I suppose if he started out from Jerusalem to Damascus, that's That's around 100 miles, I think.
You know, the deal was, though, most of everybody walked back then. I mean, the only folks who rode horses either had a lot of money or were in the military. You know, they were the Roman soldiers.
Yeah, the Romans rode. Yeah, the Romans would have ridden horses.
But most everybody walked. Everybody went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it was a deal for Jesus to get that donkey and ride it into Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Because most people just walked.
Yeah, that's true. Jesus went, everywhere Jesus went, he walked.
Yeah.
He walked from, you know, Dan to Beersheba all the time, you know, all up and down.
He had to make a special arrangement to get that donkey to ride.
Yeah, he did. So here, this is something that we might learn this morning, is that, you know, this is something that you can take with you and remember. That there's no reason, that there's no evidence that there was a horse in anywhere in sight.
They have made titles off of this sermon.
I know.
Knocking him off his hat.
I know. Oh, yeah. That's all you ever hear. Well, praise the Lord.
And it said invisible horse.
So now we know.
Now we know.
Now you know. Praise the Lord.
You can only learn this in Fresh Start.
Fresh Start. That's right. I'll tell you what, you learn all kinds of things in Fresh Start. And on Monday nights.
I mean, way after. You got to call.
All right. Praise the Lord. And let's see. Where in the world did I leave off? I'm back in chapter 26. Now where did I leave off?
You couldn't have gotten no more than 7 chapters, verse 6.
I think I was about 14. Yeah, that's right. And when we were all fallen to the earth. Okay. He says that they all fell to the earth. All right. We all were fallen. Now, he says they were all fallen to the earth. And Luke says they stood speechless. Is this another little quirk here? Now, we notice, we've talked about this before, that Paul's recollection of what happened doesn't square with Luke's account in every detail. Because Paul said they didn't hear the voice of him that spoke, and Luke said they did. Now, this may be another place where there is a difference. It says, Paul says they were all fallen to the ground. Luke says they stood speechless. I don't know. See, there's something else we need to read these things very carefully, okay? But like we've said before in here, Paul, we go with the author, because the author was writing under the inspiration of, or was speaking under the inspiration of God. And he faithfully records what Paul said, but he doesn't put his imprimatur on it and say, yeah, that's the way it happened. Paul just said, this is the way I remember it, and that's not necessarily true in every detail. As a matter of fact, if Paul was on his face before the Lord, how would Paul know that everybody was on their face?
Well, he was blind also.
Besides that, he was blind also.
Well, listen, if he fell from that great astonishment, wouldn't you think that the other man would fall too? I mean, that's just a thought.
Yeah, I know. I always assumed that, but
that
sister,
with Daniel.
But sister Yvonne, you're right.
Because he saw the angel and the other men scattered.
They heard, a great quaking fell upon them and they scattered. That is true. They didn't necessarily see all of that Daniel saw, I don't think. But Yvonne brought out that there, where it says, and Luke says that they stood speechless.
What about, why couldn't they fall down and then get up and stand speechless? Why couldn't they?
Well, that's a possibility. So that's a possibility. So there.
Well, there's another thing. You know, when Paul tells his story, he doesn't give the same details. Like in chapter 26, he doesn't talk about being struck blind.
Let me tell you.
Does he not?
It's 4 Gospels, and each one of them tells something different.
That is true. That's true. Exactly.
Each of them have something different that they tell.
They do have.
They tell the same. Some of them tell the same story, but
have some different details.
Different details. And it's so.
Now, usually.
You know, I'm telling him about the 4 Gospels.
Yeah.
Each 4 Gospels tell something different. although they sometimes telling the same thing, each of them saw. You know, if we had something in the middle here, and I ask y'all what y'all see, everybody gonna see something different.
That's no, right. I believe it'll all be true.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, because people have different perspectives. That's why I believe.
Of what they see.
Yeah.
And I think
but now
the writer,
you...
the author, wrote what was important.
Yeah.
But Paul is telling everything detailed. But
yeah.
The writer didn't see to tell everything detailed. He wrote what was important that connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Y'all know the little story about the four blind people that were touched the elephant. One had hold of the tail. One had hold of the trunk, hold of his legs. One had a hold of the ear. And I guess one had a hold of the body. And the one with the tail said, an elephant's like a rope. And then the other one with the ear said, an elephant is flat and very thin. And the other one said, an elephant is like a tree trunk. And I forgot what the fourth one was. But at any rate, they all saw the elephant, just a different aspect of it.
Yeah.
Just a different, they, it's this very same thing.
But it is,
but
I mean, I can ask y'all the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes. And each one of y'all would see it different. Tell me something different, look at it differently.
All right, let's get back here. Let's see,
hey,
where were we?
Paul, take you through something wonderful.
That's right.
It's another one of those hard to be understood things that Paul says.
All right, so verse 14 says, when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. This is interesting, because every time Jesus spoke in the Gospels, he never spoke Hebrew. He never spoke Hebrew. He spoke Syriac. Now he's speaking Hebrew. They're not the same language. They're related. They're sister languages. But every time we have Jesus' voice recorded in the Gospels, for example, where he said, Talita Kumi, that is pure Syriac. And various places, every time Jesus' voice is recorded in the Gospels, we can tell that he is speaking Syriac, which was Paul's native language, by the way. Now, when Jesus speaks to Paul in the vision, he speaks Hebrew.
Now, why would Paul bring that out?
I don't know.
He spoke Hebrew to
him. I don't know. Hebrew, of course, was supposed to be the sacred language.
Uh-huh.
It's the language that the Old Testament was written in, by and large. But also there's another fascinating thing. When Jesus was on the cross and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we know that what his voice sounded like, we find out that he's not quoting Psalms 22 and 1 from the Hebrew Bible. He's quoting Psalms 22 and 1 from the Peshitta, from the Syriac Bible. He's not quoting Hebrew. That's not what it says in Hebrew, but that is what the Peshitta says, exactly. So that's interesting. It means the same thing.
They thought he was saying something about Elisha.
Well, that's another place where he spoke up in another place and said that. That's true. And again, see, he was speaking Syriac. But this is interesting, that when he spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus, he was speaking in Hebrew. So I don't know. That's interesting. Because Hebrew wasn't even Paul's native tongue. Paul grew up because Tarsus was where he was he was raised. He born and raised in Tarsus. His native tongue was Syriac. But obviously he knew Hebrew. He learned Hebrew.
He was very learned in language.
Very learned in Hebrew, and he spoke it very well, understood it very well. But Hebrew was considered to be the sacred tongue, and still is considered to be the sacred tongue. But anyway, so I don't know. I just want to throw that out there, because we're in a mode this morning. We're in a mode where we're just learning all kinds of trivia and things. I mean, it's not so trivial, really, because whether Paul was riding on a horse or not, you know the rest of the story. Now you know that that's almost certainly not true.
We couldn't find a horse this morning.
There's no horse this morning. We're on foot. This is good. It's just good to be here.